This is Background Briefing, and I'm Ian Masters, and I'm speaking with Gerald Nunziato, who is a partner in the firm Crime Gun Solutions. He's a former special agent of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, where, among other duties, he served as the Firearms Interdiction Program Manager and a special agent in charge of ATF's National Tracing Center. He is an internationally recognized expert on tracing guns used in crimes. In essence, he developed the techniques now used to trace gun crimes, which, of course, we're familiar with from the CSI shows on television. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gerald Nunziato.
Thank you for having me.
And, of course, yesterday in Arizona, 20 gun runners, let's call them what they are, have been charged with buying roughly 700 guns in Arizona near the border, apparently with the intent to sell them to the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. Do you consider this a big bust or same?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, it just shows you the money that's involved. You know, the weapons that these people are buying are averaged between $550 and $600 a piece. And that's almost $500,000 worth of guns they're buying. They're not hobbyists. They definitely do not have our government in interest when they're doing this. It's great to see that the government was able to step in and stop these people.
Well, funnily enough, I mean, not funnily, it's actually tragic that since the Arizona shooting of the congresswoman and all those other innocent victims, there's barely a mention of guns. And it just shows you the political power of the gun lobby in this country to simply erase this issue from the public discourse. At least somebody seems to be doing something about guns, at least. From your perspective as a former ATF officer, did you ever feel like you were tilting at windmills, that the Congress didn't have your back?
Yes. I mean, we had to be very, very careful about gun issues. And when I worked in Ohio as an agent, it was very difficult to investigate gun dealers because of the pressures involved with Congress and congressmen interceding with in our investigation. So most agents just shied away from it. It was easier to go after an individual. But unfortunately, a gun dealer, could supply thousands of guns to criminals, and you just can't go out and arrest each one of them. You have to get the source, and the dealers know it. And yeah, it's unfortunate that the people of Arizona don't realize that somebody could spend $500,000 on guns are not legitimate people. They're trading this money had to be generated from something. Other crimes, drug trafficking. So they're actually protecting the drug industry by not wanting to approach and look at this gun issue. It's twofold. Where are they getting the money, and why are they buying the guns? And if they start realizing that the guns that are being purchased with dirty money, they may take some effort to stop this flow.
So, Gerald Nunziato, can you tie in these two recent events in Arizona, the shooting of the congresswoman and the person that's arrested apparently was able to buy this gun that he was able to conceal because of the lax gun laws in Arizona? And he also, as we know, had 33-round magazine clips, two of them, could have done a lot more damage. Mercifully, people stopped him. He was able to buy this gun, apparently filled out the requisite forms, but there was no linkage to his mental problems. And I'm wondering whether the process, it works at all. The FBI had nothing in their database about this guy. ATF, I don't imagine, has it either. So if an individual can buy a gun that easily with his record of mental problems, little wonder that people on the border can buy hundreds of guns.
Exactly. And, I kind of prescribe to what the gun lobby always say, you know, guns don't kill, people do. So why don't we start regulating the people? You know, let's leave the gun alone and not regulate it, but regulate the people that are buying these guns and do some better checks and make sure that these people are stable and buying them. You know, if you could track guns, like in our country since the 30s, we've been able to buy, you know, Al Capone-type weapons, machine guns, bazookas, grenade launchers. These are in the hands of American citizens that are legally registered, and they're rarely, if ever, used in crime. And these are, in theory, weapons of major destruction compared to a handgun. And because there's some responsibility and the people that buy these guns are regulated, we should do the same thing for conventional weapons. Regulate the people that are buying them, just like the gun lobby says. Guns don't kill, people do. So let's do something about these people that are buying the guns. Again, the databases aren't catching up to all this because of the restrictions, budget cuts, who's entering the data, how the data is being entered. You know, if it's spelled, the name spelled wrong, or date of birth is transposed, the person could escape detection. But if we did a little extra effort and work with gun dealers to enforce some type of regulation on these people, it would make everybody safer.
But I understand General Nunziata, again, who is a former ATF special agent with the Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms Agency, and he developed the National Tracing Center. He's an internationally recognized expert on tracing guns. We're talking about the arrest in Arizona of 20 individuals along with 700 assault rifles, and included in this cache, by the way, of brand-new AK-47s, there was also a 50-caliber machine gun. Now, that can shoot down a 747, and as you know, you can buy these 50-caliber sniper rifles, and you can buy explosive rounds for them online, apparently. That would take down a 747. So the
they're advertised as such that you could take down an airplane, a helicopter, or an armored vehicle. I mean, it's amazing why we are advertising weapons in our country that could do that.
I was going to ask you, though, about the effect, though, on your work when you're an ATF agent and on your colleagues that are at work today, and apparently down in Arizona they managed to at least arrest some people. The Tiahrt, is it called the Tiahrt Amendment? He's a congressman from Kansas, I think.
Yes, Tiahrt.
Now, explain to the audience how that absolutely cripples the ATF's, the government's law enforcement bureau charged with stopping illicit gun trafficking. How does that cripple your colleagues' work?
Well, the tracing center was started, modernized with the agreement of the 10 compact states along the East Coast to share gun data to stop the movement of crime guns. And the tracing center was given money by our government to facilitate a central location to support local law enforcement to help track gun movement. And what Tiahrt Amendment did, it prevents local police departments from knowing where the guns are going, like this gun shop that was selling the guns in Glendale. If the guns aren't recovered or recovered in another city, the police office in Glendale are now prohibited from finding out where the guns are being recovered.
By the way, they go through
a lot of loops and bells. So it's very difficult for local law enforcement to understand the criminal activity of guns because of the Tiahrt Amendment.
I just wanted to interject there that our audience may think you're referring to Glendale, California. It's Glendale, Arizona, where the Lone Wolf Trading Company was one of the supplied 100 AK-47s. Now, just explain the mechanism. You developed the National Tracing Center's ability to trace guns. So that means that if the cops go to a local crime scene, they have nowhere to turn to find out where this gun came from?
No, they could find for that particular gun, but that could be one of 500 guns that were purchased by a straw purchaser. And unless they specifically ask ATF for more information, they won't get it. But the worst thing about this Tiahrt Amendment is that it gives the gun industry, the gun dealers, all the knowledge in the world that the guns that they're selling are turning up in crimes, like this dealer in Glendale, Arizona. He would know that the guns that he sold to these people are turning up in crime. He may not know exactly where, but now he could give word to these people, say, hey, ATF is now calling me. But the Glendale police wouldn't know because ATF would be prohibited from telling them. And this is how the gun lobby, who claims this is to protect Americans, is actually protecting the gun dealers to sell guns to criminals.
And, in fact, in collusion with the criminals, if it's true that a guy that's knowingly selling assault rifles to a shady guy with piles of cash that looks like he's associated with the drug cartels. If this guy's a good customer and he gets a call from ATF looking into these guns, the guy that's selling the gun can give that information that the ATF called to the gun runner?
Exactly. And when I was an agent for 9 years, when I was at the tracing center, we had thousands of these occurrences. Now, we traced during my tenure, there are a little over 1.5 million crime guns, and several hundred thousand times the gun dealer exposed our cases to the criminals, that our agents or police officers specifically asked us not to contact that dealer because they knew the dealer would give information to the criminals or the purchasers. Yet never once did we ever have a problem with a police officer interfering with another agent's investigation by disclosing information to the criminals. And it's in this Tiahrt Amendment is protecting the gun dealers that we know in law enforcement have provided detailed information to criminals, but and it punishes the law enforcement. Initially, they even wanted to charge law enforcement officers with a felony to tell another law enforcement official about a crime gun, but not penalize whatsoever the gun dealer from telling their customers that the ATF is aware of their purchase.
That seems extraordinary, and this is the law of the land. And
yes.
Why do you think that nobody can go after this Kansas congressman and all of those people who voted for it and say you guys and girls, I guess, have got blood on your hands?
Well, it's even worse than that. The only major law enforcement national organization to support this amendment was the FOP. And it's amazing how many police officers have been killed this week.
FOP
and how many
being
have
what?
Been killed, yet they agree that law enforcement shouldn't get information on gun people that have been involved with gun crime because they don't trust law enforcement, but they trust the gun dealers. That law enforcement in my career, like I say, had tens of thousands of times they've asked not to contact a dealer because of their fear the dealer was going to leak information. And somebody should ask the FOP, why are they doing this?
What's the FOP? Sorry.
That's the Fraternal Order of Police.
I see, and that's a big union.
Yes.
It's not the only one, though, is it? I thought there were some police organizations that really did want gun control.
Oh, yes. You got the International Association of Police of Chiefs. Numerous major law enforcement concerns support the removal of this TR amendment or spoke out against it. Most major city police departments are against it. But the FOP is the only recognized major law enforcement agency that supports this absurd law.
And they
can't justify it because it's impossible for them to show that law enforcement or even what they call under the Freedom of Information, where you could buy the trace data, but it's 5 years old. The data is 5 years old. It doesn't give any names. It doesn't give addresses. It's absurd what they're trying to say. And it's basically, there's a reason for it, and I don't know.
Right.
Well, nobody's really going to ask.
Well, obviously, the FOP is in bed with the NRA. So I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles. I'm afraid we're running out of time, Gerald Nunziato.
Thank you.
Again, he has served as a Firearms Interdiction Program Manager and Special Agent in charge of ATF's National Tracing Center. That's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Internationally recognized expert on tracing guns used in crimes. Let's now take a brief station break and we'll be back going to Cairo, Egypt for an update on what's happening on the streets there today.